wondering if you are in the market for a digital camera. We've got the holiday season approaching now. Gift giving and cameras are often on that gift list. Certainly, if not, you have a camera. You probably have a camera, and you're going to be getting together with family and friends. Maybe you did that just this last weekend at for Thanksgiving. And maybe you had some good pictures, and maybe you had some that weren't so good. That was certainly the case with me. I had some good ones and some not so good ones. Jack Socha is our guest today to help straighten us out. He is a photography instructor and author of the soon-to-be-released book, How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought, and at least a new edition of that book. And he joins us from his home in Spring Grove, Minnesota. If I can get him on here, let's see if I can get him on.
You got me. I'm right here. Thanks for having me back on.
Hey, Jack. Thanks for taking time to be with us today. And this is a, you know, great time of the year. Lots of people getting together, lots of family and friends, parties, holidays, get-togethers, and so forth. Let's just start by talking about some good tips for taking great people pictures, because we're going to be getting a lot of people pictures over the next month.
Sure. The first thing I would do, and I'm going to direct people to a couple of articles on my website.
Absolutely.
These articles have been around for a while, but I recently reordered them priority-wise as to which ones were the most important. There's two of them. One is called Doing a Camera Tune-Up, and the other one is Things to Check Before Any Big Event, both of which are very important. If you go to acpress.com, the first thing you're going to see is a screen all about the brand-new book that just came out, but then there's a place where you can click to go to the main pages and then go to the photography section, and you'll see very clearly the different little articles that I've done. And the digital camera tune-up part is simply checking things like your battery connections, making sure the lens is clean, and really important, refamiliarizing yourself with the controls, because a lot of people who only shoot pictures once or twice a year totally forget stuff like that. And then the other article, Before Any Big Event, is more of the same, but more about how to check the controls to make sure that somebody hasn't been playing with your camera and you think you're taking a high-resolution family shot around the Christmas tree and you end up with one that's designed for just selling stuff on eBay. So there's two very important articles, and a lot of people just do not even know how to do this stuff, and you've got to kind of learn to do that, because things do change on your camera. I think maybe gremlins may creep into your house while you're sleeping and change the settings. I had one person who took a trip to New York, and someone had changed it over to the burst sport shot golf swing mode, where their camera took like 27 little tiny pictures in a sequence on one frame, and they shot all their vacation pictures like that.
Oh, man.
And then one lady in my class, her husband was fooling with the camera, and it was just shooting black and white, and she couldn't figure out how to change it back again. So that's the first thing. But the other part is, once you get to the actual family situation, you know, I'm not a big fan of using flash, but on the other hand, there's times when you just want to take the picture. So if you're not real familiar with the camera, leave it on intelligent auto or whatever they call it, decision-free. Take a few pictures that way. Make sure you've got some pictures. And then afterwards, if you want to try to get creative, turn off the flash, things like that. Maybe use the exposure compensation control. Go ahead and do it. But first, get a few pictures.
All right. And by the way, your acpress.com website is up on my Facebook page as well. So we've got a link there. So if you happen to be on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, you can just click on the link right there and get to Jack's site.
Yeah, we're kind of excited because, as you say, the book is forthcoming. It's being printed in Wisconsin as we speak.
Oh, right.
We're going to have it probably in a week or so. And all the information is on the website. Plus, I've got a PDF file of the introduction and the detailed table of contents so people can read what the 252 pages cover. And this thing was gone over, by the way, by two photographers who also deal with the public a great deal behind the counter. They've vetted it as far as making sure there was nothing that was totally wrong in it. And it's really, quite frankly, Larry, it's based a lot on the kind of questions that your listeners ask. So I do invite you to go there, download the sample pages, take a look at it, see if it's something you need, or maybe there's somebody in your family who just got a camera and is going, I can't figure this out.
You know, and I went to the site and we downloaded it, and it's very straightforward.
Yeah, it's I try to be very storytelling, The first several chapters are things you really have to understand. If not, you shouldn't be using a digital camera. And they're not that hard to learn. And then towards the end of the book, there are chapters on things that if you never even find them, it doesn't matter. Yeah. And nowadays, you know, I was just at a store, and this was not a Black Friday deal. There are now 14 megapixel cameras that have the basic settings just for, you know, point and shoot, $59.95.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
And there are also 14 megapixel cameras that are $1,300. And so what you really have to do if you're shopping for yourself or for somebody else this year is really seriously think about what kind of pictures you're planning on taking and how devoted to photography you are. If you have no interest in aperture priority, shutter priority, manual exposure, maybe you can save a whole bunch of money.
You know, I'm wondering what you think about the trend, and we're hearing more of this, that people are using their phones as their camera.
Well, it's a kind of a desire for simplicity.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my favorite little cameras that I take along when I just do snapshots is an old little 5-megapixel Kodak that doesn't focus, and it doesn't zoom, and it doesn't have aperture priority. It just takes the picture. And it's kind of like, do you want to be Ansel Adams and adjust everything, or do you want to be Andy Warhol and capture the moment? And I'm finding that the simpler the camera is, the less decisions you have to make. For a lot of people, that frees them up to forget about the camera and just take the picture.
Yeah.
So and that's one of the reasons why the phones are popular, because, you know, there aren't 87 buttons.
Yeah. There's an email from Stephen Kakana, who kind of talks about this. He wonders if you could speak to the new everything in focus cameras, such as the
Lytro.
The Lytro, which claim to capture images both near and far and focus in the same image.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not knocking it. I think it's a fascinating idea. They're taking orders for it, and they don't even have them made yet. Maybe a few have sold already. I'm going to wait a year. I was thinking about this camera. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, it's a camera that looks like an oversized lipstick. And basically, you aim it at your subject and take the picture, and it doesn't matter. Everything is in focus, because when you go back and put it on your Macintosh and eventually on your PC, wherever you click the mouse, that will be the thing in focus, and then you can create a photograph then. So you're doing all the work after you take the picture. I think it's going to be fantastic for sports photographers. I think it's going to be great for wedding photographers, news photographers. Is the average bear going to want to sit there and manipulate every picture they took? Or, like the camera phone people, do you just want to take the picture?
Yeah.
So, I didn't want to pop $400 for it. I was tempted. But I said, you know, on this particular item, it's kind of like 3D imaging. You know, I don't want to be the first kid on the block.
And probably next year or the year after, it's going to be $100.
$59.95.
Yeah, so just hold on a little bit. But it's certainly an interesting concept.
It is. And keep in mind that at this point, you must use their software in order to actually do anything with the pictures. And at this particular point, it is only available for Mac users. There's no Windows program yet. But you know, I give it a year, and maybe this time next year we'll all be putting little Lytros in our stocking stuffers or something.
A caller with no computer access would like to order your book.
Oh, sure.
How can she do that?
Okay, the best thing to do is call 800-647-8273. For those of you who are driving in your cars, we've had that for 20 years. We used to sell audiobooks on tape. It used to be 647-TAPE.
Yeah.
800-647-TAPE. Do not call at this moment, because I can't answer the phone. But there will be instructions on there, and then we can call. Just leave your name and number, and when the best time to call, we will call you back and give you the address information. If you happen to know somebody who is online, go to acpress.com. You can download an order form, or you could just write down the address off the website and just mail a check. The pricing is all there.
All right. 1-800-647-8273.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, you can join in. If you have a question, certainly join us at 1-800-642-1234. I'd love to hear from you. Email question from Brian in Monona. I recently dropped my Nikon D80, and it did not survive the impact with my driveway. I want to switch to an FX. Yeah. switch to an FX format body and am considering a Nikon D700. You think it's worth the wait for the soon-to-be-released Nikon D800? I shoot a lot of events, weddings, as an amateur, perhaps 30,000 shots a year.
Wow, okay. You know, you could always wait for the next one around the bend. I mentioned in the book that there's the Consumer Electronics Show. It's like in January or February, and that's when they announce all the new cameras just after you just bought one in December. You know, with the higher resolutions. I call that the New Year's resolution. They come out with the new one. They wait till after Christmas for a good reason, to get the stocks cleaned out. But you would have to take a look at the specs of the camera and see if there are any significant improvements that really would change the way you take the pictures. If it's just incrementally better, maybe if it's a much higher ISO that works really well, that might be worth waiting for. But, I mean, if it's just a slightly faster burst mode or a slightly faster focusing, it might not be worth the effort.
An email from Laura in Marshfield, who is an aspiring photographer. What's the best way to learn, and where do you find the best information? There's a myriad of information on the Internet. Difficult to find a good place to start and a clear path to progress. I'd like to do this as a side profession. I love photography.
Okay. Let's separate into two different parts. The first part is learning photography, which is f-stops, shutter speeds, ISOs, you know, what those things mean. You might start out by going over to Kodak's website. They frequently have a lot of good beginner information on that. There are frequently beginner photography classes at a number of, you know, tech schools around the state as well. So that's part number one. If you want to learn, and also go to a library or use bookstore and find a copy of a book like The Joy of Photography or one of the ones that goes back in the days of film that explains what f-stops and shutter speeds are and things like that. All that technical information still is valid. Like I say in the book, the laws of physics have not changed because we've gone over to digital. Just the film has just changed.
And you know what? I'm going to have you complete that in just a minute or two. After we take a quick look at the news, we'll be back with Jack Socha. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. You know, there's nothing like a great photo to remind us of wonderful travels or maybe time spent with friends and family. But most of us take a lot more photos that aren't worth saving than those that are really keepers. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network. Jack Socha is a photography instructor and author of a brand new book. It's called How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. And he's happy to answer your questions about buying the right camera and then getting the most out of it. What kinds of photos do you take most often? Are you happy with how your photos turn out? Questions? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And you can post a question there and click like to get regular updates on upcoming show topics. We'll be back with Jack right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here as we talk about buying and using your digital camera. Jack Socha, photography instructor and author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought, is our guest. And he joins us from his home in Spring Grove, Minnesota. Always great to have him along. And certainly if you have a question about cameras or about taking pictures, I hope you'll join us. 1-800-642-1234. And Jack, we were visiting about Laura, who is an aspiring photographer, and sort of the best way for her to learn to be a professional photographer. You had some comments about where to go in terms of books and so forth, but did you have any other comments?
Well, the other thing is, if you have a full-service camera store in your neighborhood, try hanging out there when you have some spare time, because then you can talk to other photographers who are in, you know, both amateur and professional. Unfortunately, those stores are getting fewer and far between these days, but there's the basics of photography can be learned online, or you can take a class at a local tech school. Usually there's some non-credit ones. It depends on your style of learning. And again, go to a bookstore or a library or a used bookstore. See if you can pick up A Joy of Photography or any of the – some of these books are 30 years old on how to use a camera, and just forget the part about developing film. The rest of it still works.
The rest of it's the same.
Yeah. Then you got to learn a little bit about your camera, because if you learn all the techniques of photography, but you have your camera set for the wrong resolution, you're not going to be happy. So you got to do that. And the other thing is, if you're not like Laura, if you just want to take pictures, what I've been telling people is that the less you know about photography, the smarter the camera you have to buy.
Hmm.
And there are now cameras, even the $59 ones I'm talking about, that have this thing called intelligent auto, where it ascertains the scene. So, for example, if you aim it at something close, it goes into the macro mode. It's amazing what they're doing. And so for people who are not interested in the technique of photography, learn, again, some of the basics about resolution, compression, and digital zoom. My favorite thing, the lightening and darkening button. And if that's all you learn, fine. It's as long as you're happy with the results. It's when you're not happy, then we have trouble.
Yep, for sure. David in Black River Falls, thank you for calling. Hello.
How are you today?
Great. Appreciate your call.
Well, this came on at just the perfect time. I was going to go this afternoon and buy my wife a new camera. We have a new grandson, and her old camera works one time and then doesn't work the next time, and I want to buy her a new camera, and I'm looking for a recommendation. She has been using a Sony Digital DSC-F717. It's got a 10x zoom and a 5.0 megapixel.
Okay, so it's a good basic camera from a few years ago.
It's about 6-7 years old, yes.
You might consider getting another Sony. I'll tell you why. Sony has a unique set of controls. Most of them, for example, Canon cameras, there's a thing called the function button that all the Canon people know how to operate. Sony's, they've got a little button in the lower corner with what looks like a checkerboard on it. That changes your resolution. And once you learn how the Sony stuff works, you can stick with it. So there are, I saw Sony's with 5X zooms for $79. And believe me, there's plenty of them in the $150 to $200 range now that are quite good. So I would probably suggest, in her case, they have excellent lenses. I have several Sony's I've owned over the years that I'm very happy with their results. I would tend to get the same brand as she has been using because she's used to how Sony stuff works.
Okay, and I was planning on spending between $250 and $300.
There's a lot of them in that price range. There was one Sony out there that is probably towards the upper end of what you're talking about that had, I think it was a 30X zoom. I mean, this thing did everything but dance. And it wasn't that terribly complicated to use. Many of the Sonys now have this panoramic thing where you just sweep the camera across the scene and it does all the work for you. So try to go to a place where you can get a little hands-on. But I would probably try to stay with the same brand. Also, they'll probably take the same storage card, and maybe some of the accessories that you already have may still work with them. I'd be getting a Sony.
Yeah, and obviously in this case, she's going to want a lot of close-up action.
Right, and most of them have very simple macro on them. The big difference is going to be instead of having 5 megapixels, you're going to have 12 or 14 or more, which gives you a lot of place to work with.
Yeah.
And I did tell you she wants to do the grandson, and then she wants to do some landscape stuff.
Oh.
So if I'm going to do this Sony with the 30X zoom, what's the number on that?
Let me take a look here. Hey, if you could hang on, or if you're going to keep listening, I'll get back to you on the air.
Yeah.
Do
you have a local camera store near you, sir?
No.
That's a shame, because it's really nice to have a real camera store to go to. But
I used to go to one Moan Photo.
Yeah,
in LaCrosse,
I spent a lot of years there.
And I think that guy died.
No, he just retired.
Okay.
He's still alive.
Well, but, do you know of any that have replaced him in LaCrosse?
Well, there's only one camera store left in LaCrosse in downtown, and I think it's called Maze, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just looking real quick here. I'm looking at the high-end Sonys, unfortunately, but I would take a look and see if there is one in the 12-megapixel range. Just tell them you're looking for a Sony and a price range, and then have them show you what they've got, because these things come and go pretty quick. I'm looking at least 10 different Sonys. There's a 16-megapixel one called a TX-10 that's also waterproof to 10 feet, just in case the baby goes in the bathtub. There's a 16-megapixel one called a DSC-HX7V.
DSE?
DS, they're all, they all start with DSC, as in cat.
Okay, DSC.
And, yeah, and they range from ones that are just they're 16 megapixels. There's one called a WX10 that might be a nice one as well. I would take a look and just see what they have in your price range, and I'm sure any of these will be just fine for what you want.
Yeah, good luck, David. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. Sounds like your wife's going to be happy. You're going to have a new camera.
Yeah.
Doug and McQuantico, we're going to go to you next. Hi, Doug. Thank you for calling.
Hi, guys. This is really timely because the single most irritating thing about digital cameras for me is the lag time between when I push the button to take the picture and the time that the picture is actually taken. I've missed more good shots because you have that, like, 1 second or half second delay between the time you push the shutter button and the time it actually takes the picture. Now, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Somebody at the place I bought a memory card told me the little number with the circle on it on the SD card.
Yeah, they didn't know what they were. That determines something totally different. That determines how fast the camera will work in the burst mode. Because if you have a camera that shoots a high burst of shots and you have a slow card, it slows the camera down. But what you're talking about is shutter lag, which is, as you say, the time between when you press the shutter and the picture's taken. If you're using, what kind of camera are you using? SLR or a point-and-shoot fixed camera, or what kind are you using?
Point-and-shoot, but my wife has a basic, I don't want to call it an SLR, but it's a Sony that has, you know, a lens in the front. It's shaped like a regular old 35-millimeter camera.
Right.
I bought her that, a little higher end. It's a few years old, 8-megapixel.
Right.
But mostly what I use are just regular little.
Yeah. Now, the point-and-shoot cameras, the fixed compact cameras, will always have more of a shutter lag than, say, for example, a digital SLR or the so-called bridge camera, which is the thing you're describing where it looks like an SLR, but the lens doesn't come off. So there's two things you can do. Well, three things you can do. You can either buy the bigger camera, which, of course, will solve the problem. But in most cases, your shutter time is getting better as you buy new ones. But also, all these shutters have a two-step fitting on them, where if you press down halfway, it locks in the focus and the exposure. And then when you continue to press the rest of the way, it takes the picture. And you can actually either hear an audible beep in some cases, or see a light flash on the screen, or whatever. The little square on the focus will turn green, or something like that. That indicates it's ready to take the picture. So if you can pre-set it by pushing partway down and then finishing it when the right moment comes along, that might help a little bit.
Okay, so you're just saying just do that little. I mean, it was the same with the old 35 millimeters.
Yeah,
it just would sort of focus itself.
Right,
and then. You're still not going to get away with it. That's just an idiosyncrasy unless you get an SLR. You're not going to totally get away from that lag.
You are correct. Yeah, there's an awful lot of stuff that has to happen in that fraction of a second. The sensor has to power up. The flash has to power on. The focus has to lock in. And it's doing all this work for you, where before you had to do a lot of it yourself ahead of time. So the best thing to do is to either gently press on the shutter to lock in the information, or at some point later on, cameras will get better.
Okay. Can I have another quick one?
Sure.
Okay. Now, my wife and daughter took a boatload of photos, if they don't know the settings, at 8 megapixels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, trying to email that file, it takes forever. We don't have the fastest internet connection.
Right.
How can I reduce that down to like a VGA or whatever they call the ones that you can email?
There's two things you can do. You can make the picture smaller with software, and if you go to my website, acpress.com, go to that photo section on our regular pages. There's one of the big, most popular articles there. It's called 5 Free Image Editing Programs, and all of those will let you resize the pictures to a smaller size. In fact, the one of them called Irfan View, funny name, will let you batch resize a whole bunch of them at one time. And they're all free. And you can download them from their original websites, but the article is on the website. That's the first thing you can do. If you had to send a large picture to somebody, look into the free service called Dropbox, which is a company that lets you, and they give you like 2 gigabytes of free storage. You can upload the picture to Dropbox and then contact the recipient and say, here's a link to the picture, and then they can download it from Dropbox, and that doesn't end run around your email.
Outstanding. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Sure.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And we have an email from Jan in Oak Creek. Has a small, inexpensive digital camera she likes, but it has developed a problem. It turns on okay, operates fine, but if it turns off, I can't get it to come on again. Then the little indicator light that shows it's ready to shoot gives a very faint light blip every time I hit the on-off button. If I let it sit for an hour or so, it goes through this all over again. Can or should this be fixed, or...
No. No, not at all. It could be if it's a camera with a proprietary battery, the battery could be getting older. But the problem is, and I keep talking about the spread in prices, when you can go out and buy a reasonably good quality 14 megapixel camera for $60, yeah, there's no point in repairing your old camera.
Yeah.
And I bought one of these for a person who proofed the book as a gift. And then also was so impressed by it, I got one myself just to see what it would do. The ones I'm talking about happen to be from a company called GE, which they use the General Electric logo. And I was astounded at what they can do for $59. I mean, that's less than a couple of pizzas.
Yeah.
But again, you know, if you're a photographer who wants to play with the f-stops and aperture priority, not the camera for you. But if for a good point and shoot, I got an article on the website I just wrote. It talks about how 10 years ago I bought a $1,200 camera. So that's $120 a year. It's a 5-megapixel camera. I sold it for $50 to a kid. And I'm thinking, should I have spent $120 a year for a new camera or $240 a year every other year to buy a new camera? I'd be way ahead of the game.
Yeah.
So for some people, if you're not doing weddings, and you got to look at your aspirations and see really how much do you need the expensive camera versus buying them every couple of years or every year for that matter.
Yeah. Phil in Madison, on to you now. Hi, Phil.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, I like to find a good, and not a $500, but a good point-and-shoot camera that takes good pictures, but has the viewfinders in them anymore.
That's getting tough.
Because I'm sick of the ones that we have where you're outside and you can't even know if you don't even know if you got the people in the frame because there's glare on the screen and shoot away and see if it turns out.
Okay, you have two basic choices in terms of types of camera. Most of the Canon power shots have an optical viewfinder that zooms along with the lens, which to me is preferable. The other thing is most so-called bridge cameras, these are ones that look kind of like a single lens reflex, but you can't take the lens off. In most cases, they have a second electronic viewfinder inside a little housing that you look in. And this way, when you're outdoors, you can use the little electronic viewfinder to see what's going on. And when you're indoors or want to look at the pictures you've taken, you can use the larger one on the outside.
Oh, okay.
So I would look at both of those. There are a few sneaky ones out there. I was looking at some bridge cameras at a store, and in order to save money, they had this beautiful-looking bridge camera. It was $179, and I was going, wow, that's really good. They took out the second viewfinder inside to save money. So basically, you're still holding the camera, trying to see the screen in the sunlight. But I would strongly recommend to anybody that you try to find a camera that has a separate viewfinder of some kind that you can look into, because this thing where they've taken them out, I can't take a picture outside. It's called point and guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I look into bridge cameras. You'll see Fuji makes them, Kodak, they all make them. But look for one that has the second electronic viewfinder, and sometimes if you're really lucky, you'll find an optical one.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot for calling. And Jim in Amaro, on to you now. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I've got a Canon digital SLR camera, and I like it very much, but I'm looking for a lens that will fit on it that I can use at dusk, low light situations. Could you help me out?
Okay. There's two things going on. You can either get a lens that has a larger aperture to let more light into your existing camera, or how old is your camera body, just out of curiosity? How long have you had it?
Two years.
How many?
Two.
2 years. Okay. Perhaps for the price of, are you happy with the lenses that you have in normal conditions? You know,
I
under
am.
Normal circumstances, are they sharp enough for you and all that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You might consider looking into another camera body because the ISOs, the sensitivity of the cameras, are increasing dramatically. A few years ago, they were 800, maybe 1600 ISO, and even those you couldn't use very well. Now I'm seeing 3200, 6400. In one case, I saw 12,800. The other thing is, if you haven't tried it yet, if you understand how to take the camera off decision free and put it on the setting for P, which is program, you then have access to a variety of ISOs, which might not normally be picked by the camera in decision free, and by turning up the ISO, you may be able to get by with what you want without spending any more money.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah,
worth it to give a look.
Yeah, give it a look. But also, I'm telling people now that when you go to buy a new camera, along with the lens and everything else, check the maximum ISO, because especially if you're doing sports or trying to do indoor shots of your kid doing basketball or whatever, that could make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Jim. A Facebook question from Sharon, looking for a decent everyday digital camera that can take good indoor and nighttime pics. Every digital camera I've had does not take good indoor pictures, such as kids, concerts, et cetera, especially from a distance. If I use a flash, it turns out too dark, and if I turn the flash off, the camera does not focus well, and the pics are fuzzy.
Right. And the advice I used to give several years ago was, spend $5,000 or wait 5 years, because the compact cameras that are $100 or $200 are not designed for that kind of photography. But time has gone by. It's been 3 years since I said that. So nowadays, you can look at some cameras maybe in the $200 to $300 range. Again, the Canon PowerShots are some of them. There's a couple of Sonys out there that are remarkable. They have faster lenses, and again, they have longer lenses, like a 30x zoom, so you can get closer. And in addition to that, the ISOs are up much higher than they were a few years ago, and so it may be possible to take those. But again, you're going to have to do some careful assessing of the specifications of the camera and kind of know how digital cameras work. So you may want to either pick up the book or just do some studying so you understand what ISOs are and what the relationships are to shutter speeds and f-stops. Because we don't want to have you spend money that you don't need to spend. But if you buy another ill-equipped camera for what you want, you won't be any better ahead.
No, you won't be happy.
Yeah.
Don in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Don.
Megapixels it takes to make a good sharp. I'm going to pick 8x10 inch print. It years ago I had a 1.3 megapixel camera, and the prints came out really sharp. It looked like that was all the megapixels I needed. I mean, what about these 14 megapixels? Are we throwing away 13 of them? 14?
Yeah, basically there's a couple things going on. Number one, the lens is very important. As to how sharp it is. Once we got past 8 megapixels for 8x10, that's plenty. The main reason to have 14 is so that if you need to crop away half the picture, what you have left is still enough to make a decent print. Because remember, if you have, a 14-megapixel camera, if you crop away 50% of the picture, what's left is as if you took it with a 7-megapixel camera. So as long as you're filling the frame up, you can get by with a 5-megapixel, a 3-megapixel. A lot depends on your particular taste. But the 14 is just the number keeps going up whether we need it or not. And so 14 is more than enough for most cases, plenty.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about camera speeds. If I have a 14 or more, I mean, does that slow down the storage to the card?
Not so much, because the processing mechanisms that are in the camera have speeded up as well, and the cards accept the information faster. Everything is speeded up. My first digital camera, it took 19 seconds to save a picture. So I mean, yeah. it's just gone crazy. It is important if you have a camera that does very fast bursts that you get a card that works fast enough to accept them. But if you put the fast card in a slow camera, it won't improve it.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling. Do you recommend trail cameras or any that you would recommend?
I have not looked into those at all because, frankly, although I am surrounded by deer, I don't do any hunting.
Mm-hmm.
once again, I think you have to look into the sensitivity and the range of the motion sensor. And in that case, getting a higher megapixel one would be important, because if the critter that you're photographing is a, you know, relatively small thing in the middle and you want to blow it up to get a better look at it, you're going to need some extra megapixels.
Mm-hmm. And boy, we're just about out of time, Jack, but I wanted to go back to your new book, How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought, and that's...
We're shipping in time for Christmas. I mean, I'm going to have the books, the crates are going to be arriving in about a week or so. And so we're saying if you get your order in before the 12th of December, we will get it out to you right away. There's special pricing on multiple copies. There's free shipping through Christmas. We've already taken our first order from Plover.
All right.
But we honestly think it is the book that people are looking for. Now, obviously, I'm prejudiced, but it is based on all the questions that were asked here, all the questions that were asked at Western Technical College, and all the questions I've been asked over and over. So it really is designed for the person who honestly really needs to start from the beginning. And you don't have to learn the whole thing in the book, but if you learn half the book, or if the first several chapters, you've got your money's worth.
And Jack's site is up on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Thank you very much. Jack Socha, our guest, and thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.